Good evening. Welcome to Berry Street Community Church this evening for our carol service. My name is Dougie. I'm one of the leaders here. If you've never been to this local church before, we are so glad that you've come. We're going to sing some carols. We're going to hear some readings from the Bible. We're going to pray. We're going to hear a short gospel talk. We're going to hear about this marvelous Jesus who's not just a baby. Let's stand and sing our first carol, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Please have a seat. Let me pray as we begin. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the Lord Jesus, who's not just a baby. Thank you that his coming into our world is good news of great joy for all people. That he's the great comforter, the Prince of Peace, the one who heals, who's the great friend of sinners. Thank you that he went to the cross and died and rose again. We remember parts of our world tonight that are in great suffering from war, disaster, or poverty. We remember our own country with such fear, and rightly because of COVID-19. Please, we ask, have mercy on us. Would the Lord Jesus, the newborn King, receive glory as we sing and pray and read the Bible in his name. Amen. Okay, just one or two kind of notices, bits of housekeeping. If you need the toilet at all, they're through the swing doors that you walk through on the way in, or there's one through the back. If you've got young children, and hey, I don't mind if they're making a noise, okay, that's fine, everyone will be okay with that. But if you'd like a bit of peace and quiet, they can go through next door. There'll be an unsupervised crash. Well, I'll be supervised a little bit. It's not going to be total mayhem, but maybe a little bit of mayhem. That's that. After the service, we are going to have refreshments. Obviously, in this time, we ask that you take care. What we've been doing here week by week at our local churches, for those who are able, we grab a drink, a mince pie, and we kind of head out to the car park so that we're out in the fresh air. It's cold, all right? I get that. So it may not be that you are fit or able enough or anything like that to do that. So if you're going to stay inside, we ask that you take care, please. There's no rules other than that when we're indoors, we've got to have a mask on. When we're eating and drinking, you can take your mask off. But please, let's be careful, shall we? Great. Let's move on. I'm going to read our first reading tonight. It's from Psalm 8. All the words will be on the screen behind me. Psalm 8. It says this: Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You've made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let's stand as we sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Two more readings now. Two more readings from the Old Testament prophets, written hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus was born, but telling of God's plan to send a rescuer. Joe's going to come and read them now.
the first reading's from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2 to 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Then we're moving to Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me, one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace.
Great. Thanks, Joel. Let's stand and sing again. It came upon and midnight clear.
Yeah.
Take a seat. We move forward now in the Bible to some passages you may be more familiar with, how the birth of the Lord Jesus came about. And Vicky's going to read to us now from Luke chapter 1.
We're reading first from Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. And we'll read on from from chapter 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Great. Now, our next carol was written by someone called Cecil Alexander, which I thought for years was actually a man, but it's a woman. This Cecil Alexander might have written another song that you know, "All Things Bright and Beautiful." You might remember that from Assembly. With the money that she received for her hymns and poems, she would give it away to poor and disabled kids. She strikes me as a remarkable lady. And in her songs, she often mentions something of children. So let's stand, look out for it as we sing "Once in Royal David's City." Estelle's going to come and read to us from Luke chapter 2.
We're reading from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
The next carol is "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night." It was written by a guy called Nahum Tate, which is a great name. This is one of our older carols. It's over 300 years old. The guy who wrote it was Poet Laureate of England at the time. And at that time in kind of church history, sorry to bore you with this, but these wee details, I like them. At that time in church history, people only sang in church from the Book of Psalms. That was kind of what they did, and you couldn't really sing anything else because they said, "Well, we're just going to sing the Bible." So what this guy Nahum Tate did was took the passage that we've just read, and he put it to kind of music and turned it into a song so that no one could say, "Well, you're not singing the Bible." And he did. And what he wrote was this carol, "While Shepherds Watch Their Flocks by Night." Let's stand and sing it together. Take a seat. Lizzie will come and read the next part.
Luke chapter 2, verse 22. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him.
We're going to sing Silent Night. We're going to have one more reading. I'm going to ask Chris if she'll come and read to us.
It's from Luke chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation comes to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of God, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost."
Thank you, Chris. I want to speak to you just for a few moments on some of the things that we've been reading and hearing and watching. My brother and I recently had to install at my mum's, you know, one of those doorbells with a camera on it and the fancy chime. Yeah, some of you have got them, I can see that already. And you can watch on your phone or on an app whoever comes to the door. And my brother and I are fascinated by this. We think it's great. And both of us confessed this week to just sitting and watching the live feed of the street that we grew up in, when nothing much was happening at all. You can speak through it. And every so often I'm tempted to shout at a passerby just to see what happens. Or if a dog walker walks past, I go, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa," just to see what happens with a dog. But what it's meant is that when someone rings the doorbell, or comes close to the door now, I'm like, oh, who's that? Because my phone starts to ring. I get more excited about people who come to my mum's door than I do about my own. However, it does have its drawbacks, because it picks up the cat who walked by the front door at 11:30 last night, and at 1:15 last night, and at 3:30 last night, and at 6:30 this morning. But what an amazing thing. And like a 5-year-old boy again, when he hears a knock at the door and he rushes to go answer it. I want to speak to you tonight about a verse from the Bible that speaks about a knock at the door. It's a verse that was first written to a group of followers in the Lord Jesus. It was actually written to a local church. Probably not dissimilar from this one, really. But whether we consider ourselves Christians or not, this verse speaks lots about why it's so important the Lord Jesus came into our world. Again, I'll put the words on the screen so that you can see it. The words of the Lord Jesus say this: "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me." There are at least three things that struck me as I read this verse this week. Three important things about Christmas. One is this: it tells us about the persistent desire of the Lord Jesus. See, the Lord Jesus says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock." If someone's knocking on the door, it's pretty obvious what they want. They want our attention. They want us to go and open the door. They may even want to come into our house. Something that's been a bit strange over the last couple of years. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus is saying to every one of us tonight. It's exactly why the Lord Jesus was born and came into our world. The Lord Jesus wants us, wants everyone, all people everywhere, to open the door of their lives to Him. He wants to share the experience of life with us, that we would share the experience of life with Him. In Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus, the angel says this baby is Emmanuel, God with us. God has come knocking on our door. In Luke's account, Mary's told that her son is God's king, whose kingdom will never end. The shepherds get the heavenly choir of angels telling them that this baby is their savior. The magi, the wise men, worship Jesus as God. That first Christmas, God came into a world. And people's lives weren't just changed. The people themselves were blown away. This baby hadn't even done anything yet. It had just been born. And yet people's lives were turned upside down. As he grows up, and we read of the rest of Luke's account of the life of Jesus, the Lord Jesus knocks on lots of people's doors. He says to a group of men, "Come follow me." And they do. He knocks on the door of sick people and blind people and deaf people. All sorts of people, the least and the lost and the last. He knocks on the door and they welcome him in because he's different. We read tonight about a man called Zacchaeus who was from a town called Jericho. Zacchaeus is not painted to us in a very good light. He's kind of painted as a horrible little cheat who was a tax collector, but really he was cheating people out of money. And yet that day in Jericho, we're told he climbed a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see what all the fuss was about going on around this guy. And the Lord Jesus walked up to that tree and kind of went, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to go to your house. We're going to have a meal, Zacchaeus." And after that meal, Zacchaeus' life has changed around. He says, "If I've cheated people out of things, I'm going to give it back. I'm going to give all my stuff away." That was wrong. When the Lord Jesus came knocking on his door, He was completely transformed. Why did the Lord Jesus come into our world? To be part of our lives. Well, actually, it's far more important than that. That makes it sound not as important, not as urgent as it sounds. Let me explain like this. Sometimes, and you may have had this, sometimes I will go to the doors in the area and I'll knock on a few doors and say, "Hi, I'm Dougie. I'm from the local church. I want to be a good neighbor. Is there anything you'd like me to pray about for you?" And after two or three people tell me to go away and leave them alone, instead of knocking like this, do you know how I start to knock? "Oh, that person must not be in." And I go to the next door because I can't stomach any more rejection. That is not how the Lord Jesus knocks on our door. The Lord Jesus knocks on our door, "Dougie, you're in!" That's what he's like. Whether we know it or not, the Lord Jesus knocks on our door because he knows that we need his help, all of us. All through Luke's account of the birth of Jesus, words are used like Savior and Messiah, good news. These things are not accidents. Neither is even the name Jesus an accident or coincidence. We may not be familiar with the meaning of these words, but they are important. They often describe what Jesus has come to do. In the video that we watched with the mouse, there's lots of emotions there. But right at the start, there's a feeling of kind of loneliness. And the joy at the end as the older lady is kind of company and the mouse is a friend. There's all sorts of stuff in our world that causes life here just to be hard, to be difficult. Loneliness included. Things that blight our world. The Bible says that life in our world is hard. Because our world is broken. It doesn't work as it should. And it doesn't work as it should, the Bible says, because people are out of line with God. We don't know him. We don't want to know him. And when we ignore him and say he's not there and we don't want anything to do with him, the world gets broken. And we suffer heartache and heartbreak. We need help. We need someone to help bring us back into line with God. We can't do it ourselves. And you come to the Bible and you see the Lord Jesus and he turns up and he says, "Guys, I'm knocking on the door of your life. I've come to help." And we read tonight he's come to save his people from their sins. He's come to bring peace with God. He's come to bring us back into line. He's the one on the rescue mission. He's the one who's going to go to the cross and die there for the sins of all who will trust in him. He'll deal with our guilt and our shame. He'll deal with that stuff that takes us out of line with God and bring us back into line with God and forgive us. And 3 days later, after he died, he rose again to prove to us that it's all true. And his persistent desire is to knock on our door and say, "I'm here." Peace with God. Forgiveness for our shame and guilt. Part of God's family, eternal life. It's all found in him if we'll trust in him. I know you'll get lots of knocks on the door over these next few weeks. Maybe to let family in, friends in. Maybe they'll let the Amazon guy put parcels through your door. None are more important than the knock at the door you may be hearing tonight from the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "Here I am, I stand at your door and knock." He wants to come and have a real close relationship with you that begins now and will last forever. It's his persistent desire to knock at our door. That's the first thing. The second thing is this. There's some action that we need to take. I love it when the Bible's really simple. When we're told that the Lord Jesus knocks at our door, what are we to do? If anyone hears my voice and opens the door. Jesus is knocking on our door. We've got to open the door. What does it mean to open the door to the Lord Jesus? Well, you might be sitting there thinking, well, Mary and Joseph, you know, we actually saw Jesus and the people that he grew up with might even have seen and heard him knocking on the door. What are we to do with that? Well, let me tell you tonight, for most people, it starts by speaking to him. What we Christians call prayer. You may never have prayed. You may start tonight by saying, Lord Jesus, I don't know if you're real, but there's a guy at the carol service saying that you're knocking on my door. And I just want, you know, if you're out there, will you show yourself? Will you prove that you're there? It's not a bad thing to pray. Or maybe you've been hearing him knocking on your door for a long time and you're not sure what to do. Well, say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my life. Will you forgive my sin? We've got to open the door. Maybe you already consider yourself a follower of the Lord Jesus. Are you continuing to open the door? Is his sacrificial love for others the model that you have, the way that you treat others? Does the wisdom that he have, is that the wisdom you're trying to apply to your life? Is his strength your strength that you rely on for every single challenge? Is his comfort that you experience in the trials and difficulties of life? It only happens as we keep on opening the door. Revelation 3:20 tells us of the persistent desire of Jesus to come into our lives. We've got to open the door. One more thing, and it's the awesome promise of Jesus. Let me read it again. He says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. The promise is that if we hear the Lord Jesus knocking and we open the door, he wants to spend life with us. For many people, not everyone, but for many, Christmas dinner is one of the highlights of the year. And often that's because of the people that you eat it with. For most of us, we'll eat it with our nearest and our dearest. When I get back to Glasgow at some point, there'll be, you know, a family dinner, there'll be a discussion, there'll be lots of laughing. We'll be talking about some of the people that are no longer with us and kind of the laughs that we used to have, you know, winding up my old dear old granny and all sorts of things, you know, messing up, you know, my grandfather's hair, very particular about his hair, which is strange, you know, in our family. But if you messed it up, oh, he would get so angry. Or my older brother, you know, neither of us like Brussels sprouts, so I'd be like, wait, do you want some more sprouts? And I'd spin them on. Would you like a few more? And I'd keep spinning them on until he had a little mountain of, you know, you get the idea. What happens? Well, the Lord Jesus says that we'll open the door and let him into our lives. It's going to be a bit like that. We'll get this great relationship, the kind that we have with people that we sit and eat Christmas dinner with. And it's an awesome promise because of who the Lord Jesus is. The most powerful being in the universe. The God who rules everything, who knows everything, who controls everything, including the time of our life and death. He's the one who is dead and is alive now forever and ever. It's an awesome thing to ponder that God wants to share life with us. The good times, the bad times, the sad and happy times, the difficult times, the easy times, the times of change, the times of stability, the times of strife, the times of peace, even the times of Omicron. He wants to be involved in them all. Will you open the door tonight? I wonder. If you will, maybe you'd like to bow your head and pray with me now. Let's pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, I can hear you knocking on my life tonight. I want to open the door of my life to you. I trust you to forgive my sins. I want you to be the guiding force in my life. Please come in and eat with me. Amen. On your way out tonight, if you'd like to look into this a little bit more, there's a little booklet on the table where the hand sanitizer was. If you want to grab one of them, it just explains a little bit more in a little bit more detail what I've been discussing tonight. We'd love for you to take that away free of charge. The one condition is that you read it. Always. But please, take them away. We're going to sing one more song. We're going to sing "Oh Come All You Faithful." That was it. And then I'll close in prayer, and we'll have some refreshments and go home. Okay? Great. Let's stand as we sing.